So we're in Isaiah chapter 58. We've been in Isaiah a long time, haven't we? And I hope it's been food for your soul. I hope that God has spoken to you through this incredibly powerful book. And it just seems to me like chapter after chapter is just loaded with challenge and encouragement and the voice of God speaking to his people and those who are not yet his people. Let's read Isaiah 58 together. Shout it aloud. Do not hold back. Raise your voice like a trumpet. Declare to my people their rebellion and to the house of Jacob their sins. For day after day they seek me out. They seem eager to know my ways, as if they were a nation that does what is right and has not forsaken the commands of its God. They ask me for just decisions and seem eager for God to come near them. Why have we fasted, they say, and you have not seen it? Why have we humbled ourselves and you have not noticed? Yet on the day of your fasting, you do as you please. You exploit all your workers. Your fasting ends in quarreling and strife, and in the striking each other with wicked fists. You cannot fast as you do today and expect your voice to be heard on high. Is this the kind of fast I have chosen? Only a day for a person to humble themselves. It is only for bowing one's head like a reed and for lying on sackcloth and ashes. Is that what you call a fast, a day acceptable to the Lord? Is not this the kind of fasting I have chosen, to loose the chains of injustice and untie the cords of the yoke, to set the oppressed free and break every yoke? Is it not to share your food with the hungry and to provide the poor wanderer with shelter? When you see the naked, to clothe him and not to turn away from your own flesh and blood. Then your light will break forth like the dawn, and your healing will quickly appear, and your righteousness will go before you. And the glory of the Lord will be your rear guard. Then you will call, and the Lord will answer. You will cry for help, and he will say, "Here am I." If you do away with the yoke of oppression, with the pointing finger and the malicious talk, and if you spend yourselves on behalf of the hungry and satisfy the needs of the oppressed, then your light will rise in the darkness, and your night will become like the noonday. The Lord will guide you always. He will satisfy your needs in a sun-scorched land, and will strengthen your frame. You will be like a well-watered garden, like a spring whose waters never fail. Your people will rebuild the ancient ruins and will raise up the age-old foundations. You will be called repairer of broken walls, restorer of streets with dwellings. If you keep your feet from breaking the Sabbath and from doing as you please on my holy day, if you call the Sabbath a delight and the Lord's holy day honorable, and if you honor it by not going your own way, and not doing as you please, or speaking idle words, then you will find your joy in the Lord, and it will cause you to ride on the heights of the land, and to feast on the inheritance of your father Jacob. The mouth of the Lord has spoken. Woo! That's good, isn't it? It starts with shouting. I'm surprised Isaiah has not lost his voice. My voice has been quite croaky today. I can't think why, but I do talk a lot. If you spend any time with me, you'll know that. And I like to shout. I've got a very useful gift in that I can make myself heard wherever I go. I'm not one of those people when you're sitting in a cafe and four tables over, you can hear their conversation. You know those people?
Yeah.
I mean, fascinating sometimes, isn't it? Really? That happened. I'm not one of those, but when I need to shout, I can shout. I can raise my voice. My kids will tell you occasionally, it kind of goes, rah! And he roars. And Isaiah has been singing, and now he is shouting. And he's shouting at the people of God because he wants to get their attention. He wants them to hear what God would say. He's shouting at them. Sometimes the only way to get somebody's attention is to shout at them, "Will you listen?" It's not something that he does all the time. But every now and again, God needs to shout. He needs to shout at his people. The strange thing in this passage is that God appears to be shouting at the good guys. He's shouting at the people of God, and he's shouting at the religious people of God, the ones who are fasting, the ones who are worshipping, the ones who are doing what we've done, exactly what we've done this morning. I mean, they might have had shofar horns and been in a temple with, incense or whatever, but essentially, they're seeking God. They're worshipping God. It's not about the style. Styles comes and goes with the centuries. It's about the content. But what's in the center there, they are trying to be a people of God. and they think they are the good guys. That's who I think I am. Do you think, are you the same? Me and Dave. Well done, Dave. Great. He's going to do all sorts of teams for you, I tell you. He'll just volunteer for everything. He's brilliant. Should see his ballet dancing. Amazing. Help him, Jesus. We think we're good. We think we're good. And we're coming to church to hear God. And we've heard that word from the pastor and from the worship leaders saying, God's going to speak to you this morning. He's got a word for you this morning. And I'm not saying I'm wrong in saying that. But there is a challenge, a shout in Isaiah that is aimed squarely at the good guys. He's not talking to the pagans. He's not talking to those who don't bother with God anymore. They might kind of be, in Isaiah's case, Jewish, or they might be Christian, but they're not, you know, they don't do church anymore. They're not really engaged. He's talking to you, the people who come. Some of you come here every week. Some of you come once a month. Once a year, whatever, he's talking to you, those will turn up. And he's shouting. He's shouting at the good guys, and he's got this word for them. He's saying, you need to have a little look at your worship. You need to have a little look at the life that you are living. Because God wants us to be a compassionate people, a people whose worship is not just about singing songs and praying prayers, not just about prophesying or speaking in tongues or any of those things, that our worship is actually something that we live and we do. You know, the monks that changed this nation, you know, that came from Ireland and came from Scotland down into Britain to speak the word to the Celts and then the Saxons, those guys and girls, actually, they had their way of life was worship. Their work was worship. We often separate that stuff and we go, you know, you go and do your job, and what I do is spiritual. I've got the only spiritual job Rob's a youth pastor, he's hardly spiritual, is he, you know? So I've really got the only spiritual job in the place, haven't I? It's nonsense. It's absolute nonsense. We are a called people. You're called to the place you're in to be the people of God where you are. It is meant to be worshipful. We're meant to work for God. And in Isaiah 58, Isaiah is shouting at them, saying, it's not about this. You know, of course his last few verses are about the Sabbath, aren't they? He's saying, don't ignore your time with God. Don't ignore the gathering of the saints. Don't ignore that. That's very important. Honor God. But it's not just for a couple of hours on a Sunday morning, or in Isaiah's case, a Saturday morning. It's about our lives themselves and the people that we interact with and the need in our nation and the need in our city. And so he shouts. And he shouts at them because his I guess the back of his mind, he's thinking, you guys, you're just trying to manipulate God. You're just trying to manipulate God. I know I do it, and I know you do it. I think, Lord, I need you to do something for me. Lord, I need this to happen. So I'm going to fast, and I'm going to pray. I mean, fasting's good. Jesus assumes that you, his followers, are going to fast. It's kind of gone out of fashion in the church in recent years. But Jesus says, when you fast, not if. When you fast. So there's an assumption there. But is it just manipulation? Because every religion is the manipulation of the deity. That's what religion is. And that's why we're called hypocrites so often by those in the culture. Because they look at us and say, well, all you're trying to do is get this person that we can't see to fulfill your needs and your wishes. And Isaiah's onto that. And he's saying, we need to watch out for that. James says it hundreds of years, 800-something years later. James says, the religion that God requires is to look after the widows and the orphans. James 1. If we just come and sing our songs and pray our prayers, and then do not reflect Jesus at all in our lives, then Isaiah says, why should God listen to you? Why should God answer your prayer? Now, he's gracious, isn't he? He's gracious. I mean, you know, not expecting perfection this morning. He's gracious. And he answers the prayers of those who are wicked. And he answers the prayers of those who are inconsistent. Any inconsistent Christians this morning?
See, not just me and Dave for once. That's beautiful, isn't it?
We are inconsistent, aren't we? We speak one thing and we do another. Paul struggles with that. The great Paul, the great apostle of the church. I do not do what I want to do. And what I want to do, I just don't seem to be able to cope with.
Some will tell you that he's writing that before he was a Christian. Absolute rubbish. He's just a human. And he's going, how do I live? I want to follow Jesus. And Isaiah's saying, hey, here's a few little hints for you. If you really want to worship, then have a look at the poor. If you really want to worship, have a look at those who have nothing and say, what can I do? What can I do? Isaiah is shouting at the good guys. He's saying, this is not the worship God requires. This is not the worship God requires. God requires something else. You know, we live in a crazy world, don't we? They reckon that a third of the world are now clinically obese, and about a third of the world are living in abject poverty. What is that about? It's messed up, isn't it? And none of us here are leading politicians. None of us have got, if you like, any say in what happens in our world. You know, if you live in Liverpool, you might, it doesn't matter who you wanted to vote for, pretty much you knew who you were going to get, didn't you? I don't think Liverpool's ever been marginal, has it? Maybe it has, I don't know. Not been here long enough. But sometimes we think we live in a democracy, but we don't actually get what we want. But Isaiah's speaking to the people. He's saying, what can you do as a family? What can you do as a worshipper? What can you do as a community? None of that individualistic religion rubbish here. He's talking to us as a people. What can we do? And he brings this shout, and it's a shout of rebellion. It's a shout of rebellion. You know, so often in our world, there appears to be two options. You either go and attack, or you do nothing. You know, we've seen that with the Grenfell Tower. You saw the anger of the people, and it's righteous anger. But then that righteous anger bubbled over into attack, and they attacked the officers of Kensington Council. Don't know if you saw that. And then this guy got beat up. Somebody spotted a guy in a suit. They assumed he was a council guy, which he was. He worked for the council. He worked for a company that worked for the council. And he got beaten up by a gang of people because he was to blame. Poor fella had been at the Grenfell site since the fire, volunteering and helping. He'd got stuck in. He'd had to do something. But they saw a guy in a suit, and therefore he is to blame. You see, so we have either that we sit back and do nothing, or we attack. And all the way through the Bible, there seems to be this third way that says we need to be revolting. Speak for yourself. Anyway, we need to be revolting. We need to revolt in a different style. That we're not doing the angry attack. But we are being righteous. I said, what do I need to do here? We've got an opportunity as a group of churches for a shout of rebellion. You might think that this is our ninth fun day. And the Lord gave me the vision for it. And as I spoke to the other leaders in the churches in the community, everyone was up for it. And you might think that's a nice thing to do. But it's a central thing for God's plan in our neighborhood. We're hoping to be a CAP center. And that hope, I think, well, my prayer, and I want you to pray about this, will come to fruition. Is that the word? Yeah. In early autumn. And that will come to fruition if ourselves and the local churches can actually sign on the line and become a team, being a CAP centre. And that team has come about because we now trust each other. And we now trust each other because for 9 years we've painted people's faces. It's not just a jolly thing. The word says that the Lord commands a blessing where brothers and sisters dwell together in unity. It doesn't mean we all have to look the same and do the same. It doesn't mean we have to do all the same programs or do everything together. It doesn't mean we have to put down the things that we think are important because somebody else doesn't agree with them. It doesn't mean that. But it says actually central to this is a love of Jesus and a love of his people. And a recognition that true worship deals with poverty. And so we're called as a people to be part of this CAP team. And pray, as Andrew said this morning, pray about what you can do in that. Because as we become a CAP centre, we need people who will be friendly That's a gift that 95% of you got. 5% of you haven't. That's fine. You're all right. We don't mind. We love you. But some of you are great at being friendly. You'd die if you stood in the front of here. Do not make me do that, Nick. No, I won't. It's fine. But we need befrienders. We need people with finance who will say, yeah, I'll give. I'll commit the 3 years to give to the CAP Centre so we can do this. £10 a month, £20 a month, £100 a month, whatever you've got. I'll commit to be a restorer of broken walls. I'll commit to worship. You become a worship leader. Oh, isn't that a beautiful thing? Nick Johnson, worship leader. Some of you are, you know, please don't make that happen. And Isaiah says this, when that happens, the shouting becomes singing. So he's been singing, hasn't he? We've had a few of his songs, and he's saying to the people, it's about worship, isn't it, this chapter, and fasting. And he's saying true worship, true fasting, involves looking after those who are marginalised, who are on the edge, who live in England but have got no English, who've got nothing, who've got no food. And Isaiah is saying, as you start to give, God does something. He hears you. He blesses you. He responds to you. That's an incredible thing. I started by saying we don't want to be manipulating God. But the Lord's saying, here I am. If you really want to engage with me, engage with those on the edge, and then you will meet me. I'm not a church growth expert. And people often ask me, how come your church has grown? How has that happened? I'm not entirely sure. I mean, you know, it's putting people in the right places, isn't it? The right gifts, all those things. It's the grace of God. It's been the trendy place to come and visit, maybe, I don't know. But I think a big issue for church growth is, do we look after the edges? Are we welcome to those who come who have got mental health problems? You know, when we go, hang on, where are we? There we are. When this happens, when CAP happens, you know, pastors often want to add people to their church who've got a bit of money. Oh, good. Come and join us and tithe, right? Therefore, we're after the wrong people here, aren't we? Because these people who are so deep in debt, they don't answer the door. They're sleeping on the floor. They've got nothing. And yet the Lord says, if you look after these people, I'll look after you. We need to watch ourselves that we are looking after the right people, that we are open to those who are broken and lost and not religious. I had some friends with me for the weekend, and one of my friends is the last person in the world who swears at me on a regular, as a regular thing when I see him. You know, he tells me to F off. Now, none of you do that, do you? I mean, you want to sometimes. But you're far too polite, aren't you? And most of the people I know are polite, especially when they find out what I do. You know, they might have been swearing until they find out what I do, and then they stop immediately. Andrew has that. He walks into the room, people go, oh, he's got a dog collar on. Suddenly they become, oh, saintly, don't they? But I want to see my mate in this place. And why should he have to behave before he comes? He should belong first. You belong and then believe. We need to be those who are ready for the broken and the lost. Because Isaiah says this, and then you'll get this new name. You will be restorer of broken walls. It just rolls off the tongue, doesn't it? Can't believe we're not naming our children that. Restorer of broken walls. You will be a person who restores what is broken. You think about that. This is an ancient world. And if your walls are broken, anybody can get in. If your walls are broken, you have no security. If your walls are broken, you are just a victim. You are just a victim. And what Jesus says is this: come to me, you who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. I'll give you hope. I'll give you a purpose. You'll no longer be a victim. You'll be a person again. You'll have a personality, and you'll have a new name. I want to be part of that. Do you want to be part of that? Yes. I want to be part of that. And it ends, Isaiah 58, with a whisper. And he started with shouting, but he ends with a whisper. Unless you are allergic to chocolate, you really should eat it. That's one of those quotes that never goes away. The pastor says, chocolate does something in your brain. It releases, I'm not a chemist, that'll surprise some of you. It releases something in your brain that makes you feel better. It makes you feel better. And so that little whisper is deliberate, isn't it? Because this is what Isaiah is saying. As you give, you receive. Sometimes we are fearful of the prosperity gospel. I'm not afraid of that. I mean, you know, I think it's sad when you see mega, mega rich Christian leaders not giving all their money away, or at least most of it, you know. And come on, that's why God's given you it, isn't it? But I'm not afraid of the prosperity gospel because it is the gospel. The Lord Jesus prospers us. That's not the same as saying you need a Ferrari or a big house or whatever. That's not the gospel, that's crap. But Jesus says to us, as you give, you receive. As you invest, you get more. Why do you get more? To invest more. It ends with this whisper that says, if you give yourselves for the poor, I will hear you. I will respond to you. I will bless you. I'll bless your church. I'll bless your family. I'll bless your community. God has got amazing favor for us. What he's saying to us, it's not about a Sunday morning. It's not about the songs you sing. It's not about the style of your worship. It's not about whether you raise your arms or don't raise your arms. It's not about any of those things. It's about whether you would look beyond yourself to the need and say, yes, I will be part of this. I will be a restorer of broken walls. I will make a difference in this world. What is God saying to you this morning? And what are you going to do about it? If God has spoken to you this morning through what Jenny said, through what Andrew said, through what I've said, through the worship, you know, one thing, best thing you can do is write it down. This is the challenge in my life. I'm going to write it down. I'm going to tell somebody. I feel like God has challenged me on this. And go and do something about it. What is God saying? And what are you going to do about it? Let's pray together. Lord, thank you for your goodness to us. Lord, we thank you that you bless us, that you give us so much, Lord, that we don't deserve. But Lord, I thank you that you call us here to more. But you say the more it goes down this road of blessing. Lord, I pray that you'd open the doors for us, that we would see what we've got and what we can give. That we would see what we can bring to the party, what we can bring to the world. Lord, give us a fresh vision for ourselves, that we wouldn't think that we are lost and broken, but that we'd see that we are being repaired so that we can repair others. Lord Jesus, I pray that we would hear your voice this morning. In your mighty name, amen.